Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers for another edition of the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. And we got to get out of here early tonight. We'll let you know right now. We've got a Sioux Eagles game coming up right at 7 o'clock. They are at Puller Stadium tonight against the Thunderbirds from the Canadian Sioux. It's a T-Birds home game, but some scheduling conflicts there and SR Center not available, so the T-Birds are going to play as the home team at Puller tonight. That'll be interesting, but Dave Watson will have that game starting right at 7 o'clock, so we'll get out of here at about 5-2 tonight. But Damon, lots of good things to talk about. A big win on Saturday night. Get a 3-0 shutout over Bemidji State. It ended a little bit of a losing streak, but it was a really good defensive game for Lake Superior.
Well, that's the critical piece. You know, we needed that badly, just for morale and confidence and all those areas. You know, it starts to wear on you. Obviously, through that streak, you know, we played the three top teams in the league as part of that. And, you know, some games we were in it, some games we had no chance, if you go back to the Mankato game. So I thought a couple games through that streak could have gone differently, but we continue to learn and build and improve. So, you know, I think we can look at that as learning tools for where we're trying to get to and where we're trying to go. And, you know, odds are we're going to face some of those teams again, and hopefully more than one of those teams with the first round playoff and then down to Grand Rapids. So you learn and build from it, but that was certainly a big win. And you know, in some ways, I feel like Friday night was probably the game we maybe deserved to win a little bit more with the great A's we generated. And, you know, obviously you'd like to have like at least 3 or 4 points on the weekend because of the chances you had on Friday night and because of the things we did. And, you know, a couple of those scoring chances that you know, you'll kind of have those nightmares about where just wide open nets. Bitzer made the huge save on the one. And the other one, I don't think it was going to go in. We shot it back across the crease before their goalie or their defenseman blocked it. So, but yeah, a huge win, critical points and critical for our team morale and a lot of, you know, individual performances that were very strong throughout the whole weekend. And again, I firmly believe it was a weekend where, you know, maybe that we shouldn't have won both, but you take at least 3 or 4, a win and a tie, and then you feel really good about it. As it is, you know, we'll take the win and move forward and feel good about it. And the other side of it is you look at Bemidji. We talked a little bit about the team today. That's their third loss in about 12 or 15 games, something like that. I mean, they've been on a tremendous streak against a very good opponents and, you know, on the road in the North Star Cup. And so they've been one of the hottest teams in the country, and you know, on the road, at home, wherever it is, they've been very good lately. And I thought you saw that Friday a little bit. You know, maybe a game that they don't necessarily deserve to win, but because they're playing confident and they're getting some bounces and whatever, they got the job done on Friday night. So I thought it was huge to come back. And you know, our senior leadership did a good job talking post game Friday and talking about, hey, you know, nothing matters. It's all about Saturday night, and we got to do whatever it takes to win. And you know, I thought we came out and were able to execute at a decent level to get that done.
Yeah, I thought a real key to the hockey game on Saturday night was the goaltending, Gordy Dayfield. I thought he played really well in both games. Maybe a little bit of a tough goal on the first one Bemidji scored on Friday night, but after that, he was just outstanding. And I like the fact you came back with him on Saturday night, and I think he liked it too, because he was errorless in that game. He was really good.
Well, you know, he loved it and he needed it. It was good for Gordy, obviously. And I thought live Friday night, the first goal, as you're watching it, you know, you say, ah, not a great goal, but as you watch it back, you know, maybe it's one he does have most times. But we had a poor neutral zone execution, allowed them to attack with good speed, and that guy had good, Parker had really good wide speed, and he got in and a lot tighter than he should have been allowed to get in. So it was a good shot and a nice goal on their part, and a poor execution on our part in our neutral zone forecheck. So, you know, Coach Barbo obviously does a ton with our goaltenders, does a tremendous job with them. And his mindset as of lately is to be, let's find that guy and establish that number one again and rally around him. You know, Gordy certainly, you know, in terms of mental ability, he does thrive on being the number one guy and know you're going with him. So I thought that was important to him, and you know, really happy for him and good for him that he came in Saturday night and shut the door. We didn't give much up. It wasn't a game that he was overly tested in, and I like that about our performance. Matt Johnson won the hard hat from our last win and awarded it to Gordy for his performance. And you know, Gordy was quick to give credit to the team, and I think we gave up one grade A scoring chance in the third period, and that's what Gordy said in the game. You know, just it goes to the whole team that we really shut the door in that third period and didn't give them much. So I thought it was a real good effort effort, not only by our whole team, but in particular, Gordy, to get the shutout and spark us to that huge win.
Yeah, with that shutout, it was his second this season and his sixth in his career. So he had four last year. He's a sophomore, and it ties him with Bruce Hoffert for sixth spot on the Lakers, goaltending for shutouts. The number one guy is still Jeff Giakaitis with 10, and then Blaine Locker and Kevin Capalka each have 9 career shutouts. Johnny Graham and Duffy Lewis, 7 apiece, and then Darren Madeley and Jamie Platt each with 4. A lot of those guys only played a couple of years, though. John Graham comes to mind. He only played 2 years. Blaine Locker was around for the full 4. Jeff Giakaitis played the full 4 years. Bruce Hoffert was a 2-year goaltender. Gordy's going to be a 3-year goaltender for the Lakers. Next year is his last year of eligibility. But he was outstanding there. And, you know, no knock on Nick Kossoff. He's played really well. His stats are actually better than Gordy's. I think what you've got there, and it's a good thing we've got it, 2 good goaltenders, and Aaron Davis is a pretty good third man.
Well, we do. I mean, we're in excellent shape in the net, and that's obviously somewhere where you've got to be great at if you're going to be successful. And, you know, it's, I think part of what your list tells you too is the way the game has changed. You know, back then, you a guy like Darren Madeley, who was up for the weekend and, you know, had a chance to spend a lot of time with Darren and his team as they were up here, which was great. But, you know, back then, the shutouts weren't as common. The way the coaching and the goalie coaching in particular, I mean, goalies today are so well coached, and it's such a different game. But obviously, you know, a pretty great list that Gordy has gotten himself into, and Nick will be right there too. He's got 3 shutouts already this season as a freshman. So, you know, it's great for Gordy. It's great for our team, and you know, we've reestablished that edge a little bit, hopefully, with his performance. And you know, moving forward, we'll try to echo that same thing, keep that competition in net, and you know, both guys will be ready to play. Nick has been able to all season long to come in whenever we've asked him and play at a very high level, and that did play into our decision as well. We know that when Nick's number is called, he'll be ready to go. So it's a little bit of an easy decision that way.
Just announced this afternoon, too, WCHA Players of the Week, and one of them's a Laker. Gage Terrell is Rookie of the Week in the WCHA. Gage wound up with a goal and an assist on Saturday night, and that goal came very late in the hockey game. It was the third goal and the second of the 2 empty net goals the Lakers got.
Yeah, and more importantly was his play on the game-winning goal on the power play. Gage did a great job. You know, he's played at such a high level lately, if you know, arguably our best player the last few weeks, and I think we would have seen this a lot earlier from Gage had he not had the 2 different injuries. If our fans remember, on 2 separate occasions in the first couple of months, he missed a game or two or 2 or 3 games in a row, and when he did get back, he wasn't 100%. He was playing with some injured pieces, I guess I'll say, and that's kind of held him back, but he's fully healthy. You know, he does things so well. He plays hard. He's got pace to his game. He can make plays. He can also score. So he's been very good for us as of late. And but he made a tremendous play on the power play to track a puck down, put a great shot on net, didn't try to beat the goalie high from out a little bit higher. He put a pass off the pads for a rebound. And Josh Henke, JT Henke, was on the doorstep to put it away. So that was a huge goal. And then again, you know, critical minutes, you know, Gage is out there, 5-on-5 penalty kill, and he got the shorthanded goal to really put it away and ice it as well. So congrats to Gage. And, you know, we've said the last couple of weeks our opponents have gotten some of those, and it's been driving us crazy. You know, they're getting players of the week. And so it's nice to be at the other end of that finally, and hopefully the next few weeks it'll continue to be that way.
Yeah, good. The other guys, by the way, players of the week, Matt LaRose, the big goaltender from University of Alabama Huntsville. I was giving credit the other night to Carmine Guerrero. I figured he was probably the guy getting the job done in that 1-1 tie with Minnesota State, but it was Matt LaRose in there. And Minnesota State had its hands full with Alabama on the weekend down in Huntsville. 3-3 and 1-1 ties. They come out of there with a split, a couple of points apiece. Corey Mackin, that outstanding rookie for Ferris State, was Offensive Player of the Week this week in the WCHA.
Yeah, and if anybody hasn't followed that Huntsville-Mankato series, and LaRose has been kind of their number one lately over Guerrero, so he's kind of won that job away from a very good Carmine Guerrero. But Friday night, Mankato scored on themselves. So there's a pulled goalie situation. They went to give it back to their D-man. They missed him, and they scored an own goal, and that got the tie a little bit. And then LaRose, obviously, you know, yeah, I think 87 saves. They outshot him, I believe, 87-38 on the weekend. So, you know, score probably not totally totally indicative of the way the games went. But LaRose, you know, and that's why that goaltending position is so important. He had a tremendous weekend there to earn them two ties and, you know, 2 points. If they don't get those 2 points, they probably almost have no chance moving forward to make the playoffs. But as it is, they've kept their hopes alive for another weekend.
Yeah, everything's much tighter now that those 2 points bring Alabama up to 13 in the point total. The Lakers have 18 now. We're too shy of Bemidji. We're two ahead of Alaska Anchorage, and you're going to Anchorage this weekend.
Yeah, so it you know, doesn't change. There's no breathing room. It doesn't get any easier. Obviously, they were here not too long ago. We know a lot about their team. We haven't been on the Olympic sheet in quite a while, so you know, that'll be a little bit of adjustment. Obviously, the travel is always a concern and an issue, and so we're trying to address that. Really, the last few weeks, the way we've you know, kind of tapered back on our workouts, not working out in the morning. You know, you want to continue to build and peak towards this playoff and stretch run. So I think we're fresh. There's no major issues that way. As you see, our Saturday nights, we finish period strong and game strong on the weekend. So we like where we're at, you know, strength and conditioning wise. And Tyler Dobritz has done a tremendous job for us off the ice in that regards. And our players feel good. You know, that win was so important too, just for the mental, you know, stability of our team and our players. So we feel good going into it. And our guys are excited for the trip, and it's a little bit of a different week and a short week for us. But we'll be ready to go up there and take on the Seawolves.
And a big goal on the Saturday night, too, out of a guy who never scores goals for you, but I thought he played really well. He's been pretty steady his entire career at Lake Superior, but Aiden Wright picks up a goal all the way from center ice into an empty net.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's not counted on to provide a ton of that offense. You know, it's funny, though. He's a guy, as we've done these skill development sessions over this semester, Aiden Wright's a guy that, you know, he's so coachable, and that's only part of the thing you love about him. But anytime you ask Aiden to do something or you teach him or show him, he can apply it to his game immediately. And so he's taken a step that way and done a good job of providing more offense from the blue line. Obviously, that one was just a good gap, and, you know, he did a good job making a play. And give him a lot of credit. It's not the easiest shot to hit it from that far out, but he banged it home, and obviously, you know, insurance goal at that point to really put it away. So it was a timely goal, and, you know, I'm not sure there's a guy that deserves it more on our team, because he plays so many hard minutes for us, and in critical situations he's a top penalty killer. He matches up against the other team's top line, and, you know, any offense he can add for us over these next few weeks would be a huge bonus.
All right, we're going to take a break. We got to get out of here again early tonight, so we'll get into our spot load here early. We'll be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back on East Portage Avenue at the Antlers here with the Laker Hockey Show. I kind of forgot what I was doing there for a second. I thought I was on Coach's Corner, but we got too many things going on.
Gotta wake you up here, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. We got a lot of questions from the fans tonight. Some of these are great questions, too. This is going to be interesting. This is the most we've had this year, which is really good. Damon, here's one right here. I'll kind of lambaste you with this one. Offside's been a problem for this team all year. It may have cost you a game on Friday night. What can be done to fix the problem of always going offside when you shouldn't? I don't think we always do it, but...
too much, for sure. It was a timely question, because some of you were at practice today, and if you notice, anytime we were offside today, we whistled it down and the whole team did push-ups. And so, you know, it's a coaching issue, too. We've got to do a better job of... you know, the habits and the discipline of that. I think it's also a youth issue a little bit as well, in terms of the guys not putting themselves in those positions. I still don't know. I don't like the call. And the league had an issue early in the year at Michigan Tech where they overturned a call when you couldn't see the puck. And I still swear, if you watch this one, you cannot see the puck until it's over the line. It's hidden by the body of C.J. Hayes. So I don't think there's indisputable evidence to overturn it, and that's the frustration with the call. But at the same time, you tell C.J. Hayes, you can't put yourself in that position. You can't allow a ref to make a linesman to make that call. You have to have more discipline in that to stay onside. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's way too often, and, you know, we do a lot of rushes in practice, and as a staff, you know, probably, you know, way overdue, but we're going to pay a lot more attention to it to make sure our guys understand how important it is for us.
To me, that's like one of those things, you play like you practice, and if you're going offside a lot in practice, and I notice, because I'm at a lot of practices that we do, then that carries over to games. I think you're on the right track there. I love that idea. Make them do something. Make them pay attention, because that's costing hockey games at this point. The power play finally helped out with a win. That was on Saturday night. That game-winning goal by JT Henke was a power play goal. It's been showing a lot in practice and getting better. It's coming around.
You know, It's not for the good part of it is we've generated chances. I think it was Friday night, Nellis hit a post. Jay Can had a great opportunity. I think when you're not generating chances, you get really, really concerned. It's certainly not where we want it to be. And I just looked on the way over too. I think we're still like top three in terms of power play opportunities. We've scored a decent amount of goals. Our percentage is it's not terrible, but it's not where it needs to be. Part of that is our personnel. We play Anthony and Ellis is on the point of one group as a forward, freshman forward. His other partner there is Owen Hedrick, a freshman defenseman. So it's personnel a little bit in terms of just being youth and lacking experience. But I think we're generating, as you look at it, as we've gone through it, the last few weeks, we thought we've generated some very great chances on it. And it's a little bit guys reading and getting to the rebound. It's obviously goaltending against you a little bit as well. So we're generating some chances and we're sticking with it. I think Eric Draplik has done a very good job with his group to go in there and run that now that he's finally healthy and back in game shape. So I think Draplik has generated some good looks. I'm kind of surprised he does not have any points this year. He's missed most of the year, obviously, and now he seems to be fully back in game shape, and he's playing tremendous for us. And, really, really like what Draplik is adding to us, just 5-on-5, but also on that power play. So we'll continue to tweak and look at some personnel. The other couple issues that came on, we lost Hanky for a game, so he changes the unit. Diego, so we've had guys in and out, Globke, that have made you adjust your unit. So it's hard within a weekend or weekend to weekend to make those adjustments and keep that continuity up.
Another question that kind of it comes off the power play question. Why do we not shoot the puck more on the power play? We seem to be relaxed. We don't hustle a lot.
Well, I don't know that I'd agree with not hustling, but shooting. Again, it's a skill. If you're obviously when you're going to shoot, you're talking more up high and out front there a little bit more. So part of that's experience. Being able to see a shot lane open up or a bypass lane to get it down there, and that takes some maturity, that takes some experience, and we don't have a lot of that up there. So that's part of it. But obviously everybody wants you to shoot, but it does you no good if it gets blocked right in the shin pads of the opposing team. So, we do need to simplify it at times and just get pucks there and bypass it. I think we've done it with one of our looks in terms of a little bit more of that 2-3 look at the spread, we call it, where we're moving pucks around and we find gauge in the high pop-out shot, and we've generated some good looks. At the same time, like I said, Nellis had a post, Jay Can missed one just wide. So I think we're generating looks, and to go along with our lack of ability to score at a high level, that's obviously reflected in the power play as well.
Yeah, I thought the power play looked a lot better on the weekend too, and it's we kind of tweak it now and then, and when you do that, it needs time to readjust to whatever it is you're trying to do. Now we've got that little pop-out play you're talking about with Gage Terrell. He's pretty good at that though, because he's quick. He's got a great understanding of the game. He kind of knows when to do that and when not to, and the guys are looking for him. I think Jake Han's been a good addition to power play too. He's been very good.
He's been tremendous, and Gage is smart there. And what happened when Diego went out is all of a sudden we had to switch that, because Diego's a lefty down on the goal line the other side. We didn't have another lefty to replace him. So Gage went from the spot he's been good at with Jay Can feeding him. We moved Gage down there. Then Hanky came in as a right shot, and it changes it to the other side. So all these reps and rotations we've been getting running it through Jay Can, now that shifts with no practice and no reps because of the injury. And so it does change it. And Owen Hedrick's the guy up top who can get it down to Gage on kind of our bypass shot, we call it. And all of a sudden, and that goes over to Nellis and to righty. So there's a lot of things that happen when you tweak with your personnel. But we're coming along, and we've got some good skill there to continue to work with.
And you talk about shooting. Fans always want the puck shot. Doesn't matter what level or where you are. You can hear it in the NHL rinks. They're yelling shoot all the time. I think that number 11 did a really good job for you on the weekend. He had 5 shots on goal on Friday night. He had 3 shots on goal Saturday night. I think Scott Patterson, he's earned a shot at getting back in the lineup again.
Yeah, well, you said he's earned it, and he's another guy. Nellis hit a post on the power play. Patterson hit a post on the power play late as well. That would have tied it, obviously. So, you hit 2 posts on the weekend. You easily go, add another power play goal with one of those posts, and then you got a tie game and you win. So that's how important special teams are. Scott Patterson, I thought, had a very good weekend. Friday night, like you said, I think he had 4 or 5 shots on goal, and everything he put, it was smart shots too. There was nothing overly high where the goalie can glove it and shut it down. It was all low on his feet, and that led to some rebounds and some second chance opportunities. So we really liked his game. And then, you know, the discussion post-game Friday is, well, he hasn't played in so long. Is he going to be ready to play back-to-back games, and can he handle the minutes and everything like that? Obviously, we elected to go back with him, and he was pretty good. There was a little bit late in the third period where you could see the fatigue set in a little bit. But he did a very good job, and obviously with the way he played, the expectation is that he can continue that and maintain his spot in the lineup.
Another tough question for you here. It revolves around Al Globke, who was suspended for a DQ, picked up at Michigan Tech. He did not play on Friday night, but he did not dress on Saturday night either. And the question is, will he be suspended for any more games, or will he be back in the lineup? And, this person is saying they think it's a good idea that the coaches are disciplining him for taking some bad penalties.
Well, yeah, you know, that's a little bit more of an in-house question there. So, Al's eligible to return, as we all know, per league rules. And, we'll let it play out. There's different expectations for different guys. And, you know, we've addressed it with Al. And, he served his punishment per the league rules. And you know, we're coming off a win and a good game. We go up to an Olympic sheet, too, and you want to play with skate pace and ability to skate well. So now it becomes a lineup issue. You know, you get a win in there. That's the danger for players when you take things for granted or you take some selfish penalties. You might lose a spot. You know, there might be guys who take that chance and stay in. You know, Dan Vernacci has played well his two Fridays he's played, and, he's done a good job. So that's why we always ask our guys to take advantage of their opportunities and to not put yourself in a situation where you lose a spot. So, but that'll play itself out in practice. We evaluated our squad today. We get one more day to evaluate before, finalizing ticket list and travel roster. And so it'll make for a great competition in practice.
Yeah, you got to go up to Anchorage this week. That means you leave a little bit early. What is the travel plan at this point?
Yeah, Wednesday morning we'll head down and we catch an afternoon flight, and it's that long travel day. You know, we don't get a chance to practice at all Wednesday, and that's why Monday, Tuesday, there's a little bit more importance to the practice, because you do miss a day of ice. And so we've got a lot to accomplish tomorrow before heading out. And then same thing, you get in there about 10 p.m. Eastern time, or I'm sorry, their time, which is about 2 a.m. our time. So we'll try to get right to the hotel, get to bed, and try to make up that rest as we move along that trip.
Yeah, it's a tough trip. Takes a lot out of you, especially coming back. And then you've got Northern Michigan coming in here. But, you know, at that point, it's Northern Michigan, Ferris State. There are only six games left in the regular season.
That's crazy. I mean, looking out behind us now, it's still light out, so it's gone so quick. And, you know, again, there's excitement. You know, there's certainly through that stretch, there's frustration, and there's some doubt and some questioning that creeps in. But our guys believe in each other, and as a staff, we believe in this team. And, you know, we're excited about what we can accomplish, not only Friday night and Saturday night, but over the next 3-4 weeks and into playoffs and moving forward down the road as well. So there's a lot of excitement around the locker room.
All right, we're going to take our second break here tonight. We've got more questions from the fans here with us. I've got a number of questions yet. We're running short on time tonight. We'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for our third segment of the show tonight. Again, we've got to get out of here early. There's a Sioux Eagles, Sioux Thunderbirds. That's a big game in the NOJHL coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Dave Watson's got that game right here on ESPN 1400, but we've got to give him a little time to do a five-minute pregame at least for that one. Couple more questions from the fans here tonight, Damon. There was a 10-minute misconduct called in the third period on Saturday night against Bemidji. And it seemed like the officials were a little upset with the player who got that penalty. What was the situation there?
You know, I didn't even know a ton. I didn't really see it happen. And I think somebody talked about why they came over and talked to the bench. And I think it was the second time he had shot the puck. I don't know if he just shot it away from the official or at our goalie or whatever. And they just came and explained it. I said, well, why isn't it 2 minutes? He said, well, he didn't shoot at your goalie. If he shot at your goalie, I would have called it. So, you know, it wasn't a whole lot to it, just a 10-minute misconduct by Parker. And, you know, big loss for them. And, you know, one of their juniors, Charlie O'Connor, took two penalties in the third period. That's Darren Madeley's former player there. And his team, his former team, Lake Forest Academy, was sitting there watching the game. So I'm sure Charlie was, you know, you're pumped up. You want to show your old teammates and your old coach how you're going to play. And sometimes, you know, like we talked about after Michigan Tech, you got to play on that edge, but you can't go over. And I think Charlie O'Connor, who I know pretty well, I think he went over a little bit just trying to impress his his old you know team and his old coaches, and obviously it was big for us to get that power play goal on.
You know, we had Darren Madeley on Coach's Corner from Applebee's there on Saturday morning. What a great interview he was. He is really matured into a good coach, and he's the athletic director there at Lake Forest Academy just outside Chicago. And he talked pretty candidly about some players he's tried to send here over the years. And he's got a couple players in his lineup right now that are very young, but lots of promise there. There's one defenseman who's very good. He's only a grade 11 at this point, so he's got time to develop. But he's got some players.
Well, it's always, you know, huge to have contacts out there, whether they're alum of your school or just people you played with, whichever way it is. And here's, you know, here's an alum that loves his time at Lake State, and what an important guy. You know, he's a national championship here, an NHLer, and so you know, you have to use those guys, and it's so valuable to have that. So I guess I got to be careful with the rules, but you know, certainly we do what we can to make sure that we're able to take a peek or to listen to Darren and have his ear from it, and he's more than happy to help us and does a tremendous job. And again, mentioning Charlie O'Connor, he was a guy through my relationship with Darren before my time here. I was at Michigan Tech, but Darren and I worked together for years growing up at some different goalie schools, and you know, so I was recruiting Charlie from him back then before Charlie went to Chicago in the USHL. So it's been a long time relationship for us, and actually our time at Michigan Tech, one year we flew out of Chicago, I don't remember if it was Anchorage or Fairbanks, but going up to play, and we skated at his rink there, and you know, had a chance to spend some time with him and his team and tour the facility. You know, they've got just a fantastic setup down there at Lake Forest Academy. It's a beautiful place. So you know, he's a great person and a very important alum for us. So it's a relationship you really want to, you know, treat right, and I'm sure at some point you know, we'll definitely have some of his players here and you know, use that relationship to our advantage.
Yeah, he's excited about that, and he indicated that on Saturday too. Are you concerned that Mitch Holtz may be developing Kellen Lane syndrome, where he gets called for rather questionable things due to the fact he's just a big guy, and every time he hits somebody who's 5'7", he gets a penalty?
Well, and not just Mitch Holtz. Obviously, you have Jake Hand, who's a big guy, and he got the penalty at Mankato, where it's a 6'3 kid hitting a guy that's 5'10 with his head down. And, you know, Austin McKay has gone through that in his time here as well. And they, actually, we talked about it today. Those become even more important in the playoffs. You know, again, talking about playing on that edge but not going over, it's critical that we learn from that and moving forward these next couple of weeks, certainly into playoffs when you get in that ratcheted up atmosphere and your adrenaline's going. You know, we have to be very smart and very intelligent with how we play. We want to play heavy. We want to play hard. And we actually used Josh Nenendahl as an example today, two 5 minutes early in the season. Knock on wood, he hasn't taken one in quite a while, so he's really learned, you know, to take something off his hits, to keep his hands down, and it's so much different coming from junior hockey, the way they're allowed to play, and, you know, a fight will break out, and they kind of move forward, but college hockey, it's called much differently, so we need to learn from it, but yes, there is a little bit of a fear of, you know, a guy 6'3 going around hitting guys and just getting the incidental head contact.
Yeah, you wonder, too, as you're talking about going into playoffs, if the league or if the officials in the league, they know what's going on. They watch all this stuff. We've had a number of DQs and some game misconducts this year. If they're not really considering us, I think we've gone from being one of the least penalized teams in the league last year to being the most penalized team in the WCHA this year.
Yeah,
are they looking for us now?
Yeah. Well, I don't think so. I think, you know, as you watch whatever college news you follow, each weekend there's more. I think Penn State had a guy this weekend, and one of the Hockey East schools, UMass Lowell, I think, had a DQ as well. So it's just, you know, NHL is the same thing. You watch NHL now, and there's supplemental discipline and things being reviewed. So I think it's just the way the game is. Obviously, head injuries and concussions are so much on the forefront, and we want to protect players. You know, we don't want guys getting injured. And you know, head injuries. So I think it's just more across the board everywhere we're at this point.
Who is leading the NCAA this year in disallowed goals? Are we close?
I haven't looked. I don't know, but that'd be kind of interesting. We got to be right up there for sure. And you know, going back to the first game of the year where they overturned a goal with no video evidence to overturn it, and you know, and that's what's makes you throw your hands up, and you just, you know, do you get on refs? Do you stay off refs? I don't believe it helps to get on them. I think it just hurts you. But you know, at the same time, if you're not getting calls, you get concerned that you're not kind of working them and trying to get some calls in your favor. But you know, it's frustrating for sure, but you play through it and you learn and you go on, and again, you can't put yourself in some of those situations to allow them to make those poor calls.
Yeah, the last question is not really a question, it's a comment, but it's worth a comment from you on all the empty net practice we've been doing finally paid off.
Well, it's huge, you know, and those those are big, you know, those are big, you know, if you don't get that one, if Aiden Wright doesn't get that, I'm not sure what was left, a minute 30, minute 40 or something at that point.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, you're clenching your teeth and everything's dangerous. And, you know, you do something to try to block a shot or take a guy down and now you're shorthanded. So, you know, it's critical. And I thought last year we had one or two of those situations, or every time we pulled our goalie last year, we gave up the shorthanded goal. So I think it's another step in what we're trying to do to close out games. We've been in so many tight games this year, and I think it really bodes well for the future, you know, moving forward these last few weeks and going down to next year. You got to learn how to win hockey games, and that's a huge piece of it. So I was really happy for our guys to close that out.
Yeah, not with the empty net, too. There was a good minute and a half left, more than that, when Mitch Holtz went in there, and he had the first crack at it, and he shot it into a couple legs, and he shot it wide, and then somebody else had a crack at it, and nobody could hit the empty net. That's when you start to think, oh, no, they're going to come down now. They're going to tie this hockey game. But Aiden Wright took care of it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you start thinking, you know what, it's not going to, you know, we can't get a bounce, we can't get a break, or to close it out, you give them a chance. And you don't want to let teams hang around. So it was good. We got that second effort, and Aiden got it. And then again, in the last one, you know, just shut it right down. I think it's a great sign for teams to knock them out when you get the chance to. So a lot of credit to our guys for finishing it. A
couple other real positive things that came out of Saturday night. I thought the penalty kill was outstanding all weekend. It's been good all season for the most part, but it was really good on Saturday night. They had some chances. They're a pretty good power play team. They're clicking at 21% coming in on the weekend. You shut them right down, you had the only power play goal on Saturday night. And the other thing is just the checking game itself. I just thought it was outstanding. Kind of reminded me of the Bowling Green series early in the season, that game on Saturday night.
Well, yeah, and Coach Holla was sitting here, and, you know, he runs the penalty kill and done a tremendous job. And, you know, we're up high in the nation once again. And, you know, I think that's a big credit to what he's done with those guys. And, you know, they do a tremendous job. They've bought into the system. They're executing at a high level. You know, we still have some young guys that, you know, take up huge minutes on that. And a lot of credit to those guys. And I think, you know, as we move forward again, you know, we've got some guys who are very experienced in that area. So they've done a tremendous job, you know, really all season long after that first couple of weeks. I remember 3 or 4 weeks in it, sitting to him and saying, hey, I don't know if our guys can run this pro system and do it and execute. I was really concerned coming out of it. And there's still areas we need to improve on and do a little bit better job. And I know Coach didn't like the goal on Friday night where, you know, we kind of knew what they were going with. And, you know, they got a puck through either a block shot or make the save, whatever the situation may be. So, but they're a great special teams unit in Bemidji. And for us to be able to shut them down on Saturday night, that's the difference in the game. You know, we score a power play goal, we shut their power play down, and that gets you a win. So real kudos to the penalty killing unit. They've done a really good job for us.
Yeah, we're going to take our last break. We'll be right back with more of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back for our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Monday night, live from the Antlers. Want to remind everybody, we really haven't had Chris Sable on recently. He's always tied up with minor hockey here in the Sioux, but they had a big fundraiser last week, and they did have a very good prime rib and lobster tail dinner on Valentine's Day on Sunday, so that was a big success. And they've got all sorts of things happening all the time down here at the Antlers. Chris has done a good job bringing the Antlers back over the last few years. 6 games left in the season, Coach Witten. 2 of them coming up this weekend up in Alaska, then 2 at home against Northern Michigan, and then down to Ferris State, which is never fun to play. But we got to get some points out of these 6 games, and I don't know how you guys are looking at it, but I think this weekend coming up is pretty big.
Well, they're right on our tails, and so we want to make sure we you know, the job is to go on and provide some separation. So, you know, going up there, the sole focus is on Friday night. You know, you can't look too far ahead, and obviously as coaches, we'll be in there watching scoreboards, and we'll know what's going on with the time change and have a little bit of feel what's going on. And some of the matchups, you know, help us. There's only so many points can go between certain teams that are matched up, and that'll help as well. But, yeah, we've got to win hockey games. That never changes, and, you know, we know this Anchorage team well, and I felt like the series 4 or 5 weeks ago was very similar to this Bemidji series, where we felt like we probably should have taken 3 or 4, but we didn't. We took a split at home, and you know, so we've got to go on the road and find a way. We're not getting some matchups. They got Tatchell and Kozin on their top line, and they're amongst league leaders in scoring. You know, Mantha stole the game Saturday night here against us, so we know he can do it. And you know, and it's the big sheet. You know, it's an adjustment. I like it for our team and our skating ability. You can imagine C.J. Hayes and Terrell, and with all that space and room up there. So we like the matchup, and now it's, you know, getting close to time to get up there and get the job done.
Yeah, it's a great weekend this past weekend, too. We had good crowds both nights, I thought, very much into it on Saturday night in that third period. I thought Austin McKay had a great third period for you. Won a lot of key faceoffs. He's really showing right now. You know, he's not the greatest skater in the world, but he's very smart. He's got the big body. He handles the puck pretty well, and he wins draws well. He's really showing senior leadership right now.
Well, he's very trustworthy. You know, when you put him on the ice, you know what to get. He knows our structure and our system so well. He can be a quarterback out there as well, and, you know, you see that on the faceoffs. And he'll go out for a lot of our critical D-zone faceoffs. When we lost Diego for Saturday, there's a critical faceoff guy that you lose, and so all of a sudden you look a little bit worried down the middle. But we were tremendous. I think we were 62% on Saturday. Mitch Holtz and Austin led the way. Gage Terrell took a lot of draws because of Diego being gone, and he went 4-1. But both Austin and Mitch were around 16-8 or 15-7, something along that. So they did a tremendous job. And you see him out here, like I said, in critical times and D zones to win faceoffs. And, he's done a very good job for us. And talked to Zach Lesh a little bit today as well. And again, our seniors, they don't hear about them as much as you probably should, but they've done a great job leading this program this year to change our culture and to set us up for hopefully a strong finish and a good playoff push.
Another question about Diego Cuglietta. He did miss on Saturday night. I'm not sure that's a real serious injury, but is he practicing this week? Do you think he'll be making this trip?
Yeah, he skated today, and he should be fine to go. And, a playoff game, you probably find a way to play him. But, he wasn't over that 80-85% threshold there, and we had fresh bodies and a full roster to choose from. So we wanted to make sure we had somebody could go out there and give us a little bit more and let Diego take that night off.
Couple other guys who played pretty well on a weekend, and it's good to see. We got JT Hinkie back on the score sheet for the first time in, I think, 7 games when he got that game-winning goal on Saturday night. Maybe he'll go on a bit of a streak now. He's that kind of kid. And then the other one, I think we mentioned him earlier, but you can't overtalk how well he's playing since he got back in the lineup, and that's Jake Hand.
Yeah, no, Jake and JT, strong weekends for sure. And Jake Hand on that top power play, or on one of the power play units, I should say, has done a really good job. And he's just such a different player from early in the year. And he's a guy that, you know, I wish from day one he would have been going. I think he'd be up with Holtz and Terrell, and who I think are tied for second in freshman scoring. I think Jake's got the ability to be right there with them and amongst league leaders. And so, a little bit disappointed in his first half, but he's been a much different player, you know, a physical presence, playing hard. His puck touches are so good. When he gets going, he's nearly impossible to take off the puck. He's so big and strong. And those of you who get to see practice sometimes in our small area games, you just see guys have no chance to strip him of the puck when he's going. So we hope he can continue to play at that level and finish very strong and springboard him down the road as well. You mentioned JT Hank. It'd be nice to get him scoring again, and that was a huge game-winning goal for him. Before JT got the suspension, I thought he was playing very good hockey. He wasn't scoring, but his habits away from the puck were probably as strong as they've been all season long, tracking, going through bodies. So his play away from the puck has been very good as of late, and a lot of times that's what gets you back on track by playing the right way. So hopefully JT will be ready to roll.
You went with that experiment again on Saturday night, too, using 7 defensemen. You got Pete Spratty in there, who adds speed on the blue line for you, and went with 11 forwards. And like we talk about all the time, the forwards probably love that because they get more playing time. The defensemen probably don't like it because it's a little harder with different combinations and they don't get as much ice time.
Yeah, you're dead on. I think if you're a D, you're like anybody. You want to have a regular shift and a flow to your game. It's always easier to engage, and you'll hear guys, well, you know, we got power play and I didn't get out there. Well, you know what? Take advantage of your opportunities. There's different things that happen that prevent guys from getting their normal shifts, but you have to be ready to play. But you're exactly right. You know, some guys struggle with that when they're not getting their normal shift and normal routine. It's easy to say, well, we'll play better. If you're playing really well, we'll get you out there. I mean, there's 3 of us back there, and I don't think all 3 of us will miss you. But, you know, when a guy's hot, when a guy's playing, we find ways to double shift them and get them out there in certain situations. So it's up to individuals to do that. And I think same thing the night before, you know, if we felt like guys would have played a little bit higher level back there, then maybe we don't dress the 7D. But, and like you said, up front, they love it because they get more ice time and it gets a little bit chaotic. You never know who you're going with or where you're going. As you're coming out of a power play or a penalty kill, you know, things can get really jumbled around. And then you kind of try to use the media timeouts to get set up again. You know, for the opposing coach, there's really no way to match or try to set things up. And so on the road, it's a nice thing to do when you're trying to set a matchup up. If you don't have those full lines, it really makes it a difficult job for the opposing coach.
Yeah, it's been very interesting here. I noticed on Saturday night, too, we had some line combinations going out there that I'd never seen before. And I think that's all part of what you're talking about. You got to throw people out there and hope you can use those media timeouts to work around everything and let guys catch their breath and double shift. And you wanted McKay out there as much as possible in those defensive zone faceoffs, and that worked pretty well.
Yeah, no, and as long as your guys are alert on the bench, and you know, communication becomes so important as well, because things can be a little bit different. Guys are used to playing their normal positions, but we might put them out in a different spot. So it's just important that they communicate and be on the same page. And this time of year, though, guys should all understand, you know, the way we're trying to play. If they don't, it's really bad coaching, because we've hit our structure, you know, day in and day out here over the past few months. And so that should be pretty well ingrained in their heads, and they know what our expectations are. They know what they need to do out there, and it's just a matter of getting out there and executing.
Fans always have questions about recruiting. I know that's going on all the time. We talked a little bit about Lake Forest Academy being in town this week, and I know that maybe Rich went down, or Doug, or somebody on Sunday morning to watch them play from right there at Able Arena. But overall, you're still getting out. You're still looking for futures at this point. We've got a lot of people who are signed to play next year. I think 8 of them are coming in for sure. I have a question, though, about the future with goaltending. Are we looking at goaltenders at this point? Because we lose Gordy after next year. Nick Kossoff's very good. You've got Aaron Davis for another season, but he and Gordy are going to leave together.
Yeah, we lose 2 that year, which makes it a little bit tough sometimes, and you like to find some balance a lot of times. And I know you know, before Pete left, that's what he kept talking about. You don't want to stack guys up. You want to stagger them. So you always have somebody who's able and ready to play. But sometimes the situation doesn't dictate that. So, no, we are. We're in a nice spot, because we're not in a rush to find everybody. We're really happy with the majority of our recruits out there, the way they're playing and performing. You know, I guess I won't comment on any individually, because I never quite know or remember on the show who's signed and isn't signed. But, you know, a lot of those guys are right amongst the league leaders as we continue to try to upgrade our skating ability and our skill. And so we're happy with where we're at for the most part, which means you don't have to rush out and force players. You know, sometimes you get in the habit of going out and saying, well, you know, you can kind of try to create a player in your own head. If there's a better player out there, a player that upgrades our program, you know, we can look hard and try to get involved in a tough recruiting battle to make it happen. But we don't have to do it, because we are happy with what we return. We're happy with what we have coming in. Obviously, the goaltending is a big position there 2 years out. So again, are we in a huge rush to do it? No, we're not in a huge rush. You know, if the right guy's there, then we'll try to push and get it done. And we've done that a little bit with a couple guys, and some visits haven't worked out and timing of it in their season. So it used to be 6-10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, kids would miss their games and come in and watch you play on a Friday night or Saturday night. It almost never happens anymore. Like the junior coaches are under so much pressure now to win games and not lose their jobs, that you rarely have kids up for games unless somehow they have a weekend off, which doesn't happen very often. But now most of recruiting is done on a Sunday night. They're on campus Monday afternoon, and they fly out Tuesday morning or drive out or whatever the case may be. So it's really changed so much. So, but no, we'll have guys up. We always have guys up. You know, Rich is out today checking some things out downstate, and he'll be back joining us to get us ready to before we shove off, and then he'll hit the road again. He's got a pretty good trip lined up to see a couple guys, both some young kids and some guys that would be ready more for next year, and just see where they fit in and if it's some needs that we need to fill.
So which coaches, probably you and Doug, are going to Anchorage then?
Yep, Doug and I will be on the road. And we typically, you know, when we're on the road, most of the times one assistant will go recruiting. It just makes sense that way if you're already gone. And then that way when we're home, everybody can be home, not only to be with the team, but obviously family-wise and things like that. So, and then they try to rotate that for the most part. If there's maybe a big showcase in an area that's more, you know, Rich's so-called area, then Rich would maybe miss 2 weeks in a row potentially. But for the most part, I think almost all year long we've been able to alternate those road trips, and it works pretty well that way to make sure both guys are with the team plenty and getting their opportunities on both sides of things. And so it's worked out pretty well.
Good. Sounds good to me. Good luck up in Alaska this week. We don't make that trip, but you and I will do another show on Wednesday morning at 8:30. That'll be right here on ESPN 1400 Laker Hockey Talk. Randy Russin's show tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock. That's called Hockey North. He always talks some Lakers on that program right here on ESPN 1400. And Damon, good luck in Anchorage.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're looking forward to the trip. And I know it's a big hockey night here in town, so we'll look forward to that. And we'll talk to everybody Wednesday morning.
All righty, and we'll be back then. And we'll be back next Monday night with another edition of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.